ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Canto 5, Chapter 3, Text 15.
Yaduha bhava tavapunar abhadra kartar iha samahutas tatrata dhyam mandanam nastad yad deva helanam deva devarhasi samyena sarvan prativodhum abhidusham.
Vidusham avas. Who are all ignorant. O Lord, you perform many wonderful activities. Our only aim was to acquire a son by performing this great sacrifice. Therefore, our intelligence is not very sharp. We are not experienced in ascertaining life's goal. By inviting you to this negligible sacrifice for some material motive, you have certainly committed a great offense at your lotus feet. Therefore, O Lord of Lords, please excuse our offense because of your causeless mercy and equal mind. Purport. The priests were certainly unhappy to have called the Supreme Lord from Vaikuntha for such an insignificant reason. A pure devotee never wants to see the Lord unnecessarily. The Lord is engaged in various activities, and the pure devotee does not want to see him whimsically for his own sense gratification. The pure devotee simply depends on the Lord's mercy, and when the Lord is pleased, he can see him face to face. The Lord is unseen by demigods like Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. By calling on the Supreme Lord, the priests of Nabhi Maharaj proved themselves unintelligent. Nonetheless, the Lord came out of his causeless mercy. All of them, therefore, wanted to be excused by the Lord. Worship of the Supreme Lord for material gain is not approved by authorities. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Chaturvidha bhajante mam jana sukritin arjuna arto jigyasur artarti jnani cha paratarshava. O best among the paratas, Arjuna, four kinds of pious men render devotional service unto me: the distressed, the desirer of wealth, the inquisitive, and he who is searching for knowledge of the Absolute. Initiation into bhakti begins when one is in a distressed condition, or in want of money, or when one is inquisitive to understand the Absolute Truth. Nonetheless, people who approach the Supreme Lord in this way are not actually devotees. They are accepted as pious, sukritinaha, due to their inquiring about the Absolute Truth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Not knowing the various activities and engagements of the Lord, such people unnecessarily disturb the Lord for material gain. However, the Lord is so kind that even though disturbed, he fulfills the desires of such beggars. The pure devotee is anya vilashita shunya. He has no motive behind his worship. He is not conducted by the influence of maya in the form of karma or jnana. The pure devotee is always prepared to execute the order of the Lord without personal consideration. The Ritvija, or priests in the sacrifice, knew very well the distinction between karma and bhakti, and because they considered themselves under the influence of karma, fruit of activity, they begged the Lord's pardon. They knew that the Lord had been invited to come for some paltry reason.
Vatavapunar abhadrakartar iha samahutas tatartha dhyam mandanam nastadyad deva helanam deva devar hasi samyena sarvan pativodhum avirusham.
The priests begged to be excused for being material boon seekers. Essentially, they apologized for being pests. They're pestering the Lord. Give me this, give me this, give me this. Give me, give me, give me, give me. Simply pestering Krishna. Krishna is meant to be served. The constitutional position of the Lord is that he is the master, and the living beings are servants. And therefore the business of the living beings is to give pleasure to the Lord, to give service to the Lord. And here these priests are simply bothering the Lord. We want this, we want this, we want this, we want this. So Deva Helena, they considered it an offense to the Lord. Just in our chanting Hare Krishna, one of the 10 offenses is to maintain material attachments while chanting. The religion actually aimed at getting something from the Lord is called Kurtava Dharma. Cheating religion. Religion which is simply ritualistic activities, dharma, for the sake of artha, kama, and...
Hello. Hello down there. What's going on down there? Well, that's nice. He's communicating downstairs. He's also communicating upstairs.
Srila Sridhar Swami says that dharma, artha, kama, moksha, these are the objects of cheating religion. To get some material profit, to satisfy one's material desires, or to merge in the Supreme, get liberation into the Brahmajyoti. These are all Kaitava dharma, cheating religion. So the priests had reason to be apologetic. We're simply acting as agents for cheating religion. Under the name of priests, under the name of religious men, Brahmins, priests, pandits, we're engaged in a cheating process. We're not engaging in pure devotional service. We're not teaching pure devotional service simply as our professional duty. We're doing some rituals for helping someone in their family development. It's cheating. It's cheating. Kaitava dharma. The real religion is Bhagavad Dharma. The activities meant simply for satisfying the Lord. Ahituki apratiyata. Without any motive. Without any motive. Ahituki. Not ahituki. Matlabi. No. So the, similarly, Dhruva Maharaj prayed to the Lord for a kingdom better than that of his grandfather, Lord Brahma. But when the Lord awarded his desire, Dhruva condemned himself for being a fool. He said, I'm a rich man. I'm like a person who's approached a rich man begging a palm full of rice. Stupid. Stupid. You go to a rich man, you ask something big. If you'd simply ask a palm full of rice, you're foolish. I approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who can award his own devotional service, and I've asked him for a stupid planet, a stupid kingdom. How foolish I am. So here, the priests also express the same understanding. Artati, our mentality of that is simply to approach you for some material thing. Artatiyam mandanam. Manda means slow. I think we have that expression, we call a student slow, and it's sort of a nice way of saying stupid. So, manda means slow or bad. Slow, bad, manda. Manda sumanda mateo manda bhagya upadruta. Kali Yuga, practically everyone is slow in their intelligence. And the priests condemn themselves in this way, artadhyam mandanam, because we have called you for this sacrifice for the sake of some material benediction. Our intelligence is mandadhi, bad intelligence. Na tat yat deva helanam, deva deva arhasi samyena sarvan prativodham avirusham, where mandadiyam and avirusham, avid means directly foolish, not having knowledge or ignorant. So the priests, who were more like criminals, or who considered themselves criminals, appealed to the Lord that, after all, we're slow, we're ignorant, and you are the Lord of all lords, and samyena. Samyena means you're equal to all living beings. Samoham sarvabhuteshu yome dveshosti napriya. You're equal to everyone, so please excuse us. Shodhum. Shodhum? Prativodhum. Please tolerate. We've bothered you, we've pestered you, but it's because we're foolish and ignorant, so please kindly tolerate our helena offense. You're so great, and you can tolerate the offenses of insignificant fools like us. Prabhupada comments, a pure devotee never wants to see the Lord unnecessarily. The materialists are always challenging, can you show me God? I want to see God. What do they want to see God? They want to see God. That's, you know, I've seen Terminator 2. I've seen, you know, so many other things. Now I'd like to see God. What will they do by seeing God? They'll look. But they don't have the idea of doing any service to God. Just, we'd like to see. We've seen Bombay, we've seen Calcutta, we've seen, now we'd like to see God. Huh? Well, pure devotee doesn't want to see God unnecessarily. He wants to serve God. He wants to serve God. Of course, the pure, spontaneous devotee has a desire to see God, but to serve Him. Not simply out of idle curiosity or for some other to, if I see God, then I can ask Him for something. If you see God, what will you do? Oh, I'll ask Him for this, I'll ask Him for that. So, a pure devotee never wants to see the Lord unnecessarily for some material purpose. Or even whether he sees God or not, certainly not to boast, I've seen God. Have you seen God? Yes, I've seen God. Or whatever God, Lord Shiva or Durga or Krishna, they're boasting, I've seen. Again, for material gain. I've seen Kali, I've seen Durga. And Kali is the representation of the material energy. You've seen Maya, that's all. But you want to make a show, I've seen. A devotee doesn't want to use God as his order supplier. It's not that by seeing God, now I've become a big, great person, everyone can worship me and give me money. A devotee is not interested in that. He wants to serve God. The Lord is engaged in various activities, and the pure devotee does not want to see Him whimsically for his own sense gratification. Again, Krishna has his own activities. Why disturb him? Why disturb him? The pure devotee wants to assist the Lord in his activities, not distract the Lord from his real business. The Lord is inviting, come on, join me in my transcendental activities. Come on, come here. Come to the spiritual world and take part in my spiritual affairs. No, you come here and help me in my material affairs. How foolish it is. The pure devotee simply depends on the Lord's mercy. And when the Lord is pleased, the devotee can see Him face to face. Here, sometimes Srila Prabhupada refers to these four classes of men as neophyte devotees, artha, artharthi, jigyasu, gyanicha. But here Prabhupada dismisses them as not even being devotees. Because their real devotion is artha. His devotion is to getting free from misery. Artharthi, his devotion is toward getting some material benefit. Therefore he prays to the Lord, he gets the material benefit, keeps the benefit, and dismisses the Lord. Gyanicha. He simply wants the Lord as an object of speculation. I think this about you, I think that about you. I'm writing a book about you. Gyani. At least Krishna says among all of them, the Gyani is the best. So here, of course it's good, Sukritina. A very fortunate person approaches Krishna. This is the beginning at least. Approach Krishna for some reason, and because it's Krishna, gradually one will be relieved of the reason and simply be engaged in the service of the Lord. That's Krishna's real kindness. That if someone approaches him for material things, Krishna may think, Why should I give him some foolish material nonsense? Let me take away all of his nonsense and engage him as my servant. So here the priests considered themselves to be under the influence of karma. That real devotion, the real business of life is bhakti, devotional service to the Lord. And we're acting like karmis. We're approaching the Lord, but we're approaching him for some material gain, some material advantage. So they felt bad. Why have we done this? So they were praying to the Lord, please excuse us, please excuse us. Anyabhilashita shunya. The pure devotional service, bhakti ruttama, means no material desire, karma jnana, jnana karmadi anavritam. Anukulyena krishna anushilanam. Simply to do everything favorable for the service of the Lord, reject everything unfavorable. So the Ritviks considered that this is unfavorable. We're just asking the Lord for something, a son. The animals are getting sons. Why should we be so much after, I have to have a son, I have to have a son, I have to be, have a son? Rather, even some devotee is praying, I want a son like you. Even that's material. But the Devaki and Vasudev or Nanda Yashoda, they were praying, we want you as our son. That's pure devotional service. Not, we want a son as good as you. We want a first class son. No, we want you, that's all. Accept no substitutes. They want Krishna. Well, this is pure devotional service. And why? Not so simply we can have a big son, we want first class son, God. No, we want to serve you. Nanda Yashoda, Devaki and Vasudev, their only goal is to serve Krishna. Not bhakti ruttama. Alright, are there some questions? Yes. Mike.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is related to the final point that you spoke about, even if we ask for the Lord for someone like him as a son, that is considered materialistic. So just a thought on this, that how should the devotees aspire? When they aspire for a child, we are obviously not so qualified to ask the Lord that you please appear. We are nowhere. So what should we aspire for?
Servant, let us have a child who will serve you. That's within, to ask for God to be our son, that's a little beyond our adhikar. But we can aspire, and let us have a child who will be able to engage in your devotional service. Otherwise it's useless. There's who is that? Tulsidas. He has some verse where he says that the sun and urine both proceed from the same organ. He's playing with the words putra and mutra. So he says that if a son is not a devotee of the Lord, then he's not putra, he's mutra. So what is the use of such a child? Avidvams, what is that? Chanakya Pandit? Avidvans na dharmakaha, something like that. Anyway, Chandika Pandit says that what is the use of a child, a son, who's neither learned nor a devotee of the Lord? Such a son is like a blind eye. A blind eye is useless for seeing anything, but it's very good for giving trouble. Huh? That's all it can do. So we have experience in the material world that a son who's not learned, not a devotee of the Lord, is useless for the real goal of life, but very good for causing pain, anxiety, trouble for his parents. Expense also. They simply cost a lot of money and don't do anything. If you're spending all that money, at least you should get something. But a child is expensive. In America, my God, they calculated the cost of a child, you know. The prenatal care, then delivery, then, you know, 100,000 pairs of shoes by the time he grows up, and, you know, so many things, and education, and 4 years of college. It's $500,000, you know, to have a child by the time you're done with it. And then the child becomes a fool and a rascal. You know, would you invest like $300,000 in buying a fool? But, you know, people are very eager to have a son. Doesn't matter what kind of rascal he is. They just want a child. So, of course, because they're also rascals, so they get another rascal, they're happy. But a devotee prays to the Lord that, please let us get a child who can engage in your devotional service. Some other question? Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, we have heard that if we have the higher taste, when we have the higher taste, then we don't go for sense gratification. So, sometimes we do get, but many times we are not able to maintain because of various reasons. Sometimes like walking outside, or sometimes we are snacking.
Loud. Sometimes we are not able to maintain a higher taste for various reasons.
Yeah, so.
And then what?
Many reasons may be there for it, so how to go for it?
Many reasons may be there. But we should, of course we may not have a higher taste. Therefore, some vow is required. That's training. Ordinary person, he has no higher taste, so he indulges his lower tastes. Got to do something. But when one accepts training under the guidance of the spiritual master, then even though I don't have a higher taste, I'm not going to go for this lower taste. What is that lower taste? Gambling, intoxication, meeting, illicit sex. All rubbish engagements. Although I have no higher taste, I know that the higher taste is there. My spiritual master and the scriptures are telling about this higher taste. And I'm assured that if I follow this process, that higher taste will come. So higher taste or no higher taste, I have to do it. Not that simply when I get a higher taste, then I do it. And if I don't get a higher taste, then I'll do something else. No, I'm training. Huh? Doctor's prescription. The doctor says, you take this medicine, you'll get healthy. And now I'm taking it 2 days, I don't feel healthy, well, I'm going to stop taking it. Don't eat this. But after 2 days, still I didn't feel any improvement. Why not eat it? That's discipline. That I may feel or not feel, but I have to do it. That's discipline, and that's honor also. Honor is, I may like it or not like it, but it's my duty. That's Vedic culture. Just like Dasharatha Maharaj, he didn't get a higher taste by exiling Ram to the forest. But it was his duty. Now I've promised my wife I have to do it. Huh? So many. I've vowed that anyone who takes shelter of me, I'll protect him. So a pigeon is taking shelter of me, I'll cut off my flesh even to protect this bird. Who is that king? Shibi Maharaj. It was his vow. And there are so many examples. Similarly, marriage vow. Why did I get married? Because I'll get a higher taste. Nice girl, nice wife, happy family life. And then when I get married, I find out the girl is not so nice. The family life is not so happy. But not that, all right, forget it. We're calling it off. Go back to your father. I'm finding another girl. There's a higher taste down the street. No. I've taken a vow. I've accepted some responsibility. So sometimes there may be a higher taste. Sometimes it may be distasteful. But I have to do it. And that's called human life. Or respectable life. Huh? Or discipline also. Self-control, discipline. So similarly, the disciple takes a vow that I may feel it or not feel it, but I'll do it. That's called vaidhi. Vaidhi means obligatory devotional service. I've chanted 14 rounds and I don't feel any taste. Still, I have to chant the other two. Taste or no taste. Tuesday I may feel a taste, Thursday I may feel no taste, but I've promised my spiritual master I'll chant 16 rounds, so let me do it, that's all. I've promised him I'll avoid these four sinful activities, let me avoid them. I've taken the path to avoid nonsense, waste of time engagements, let me avoid them. So by following that discipline, he comes to the point where the taste comes. By following the physical discipline, the athlete gets strength. By following the whatever discipline, one comes to the right stage. By following the health regimen, one recovers his health. So we may have a higher taste, no higher taste. But if we follow the process patiently, we'll come to that point. Therefore, Srila Rupa Goswami says, Utsaha nishchaya dharya tat tat karma pravartana. With enthusiasm, we should take up the process and we should have confidence in the result. And even if our result doesn't come, still we should remain enthusiastic and perform tat tat karma, all the different things that we're supposed to do. And gradually it will come to that stage. The example later in Upadeshamrita, sugar candy. For the person with jaundice, it tastes bitter. No higher taste. Horrible taste. Bitter taste. But why? It's not the sugar's fault. It's because of the jaundice. So if he takes the goes on taking that sugar candy day after day, day after day, he'll come to the point, oh, now it's sweet. Okay. Something else? Huh? Huh? You're...
Sometimes those devotees make this mistake. Sometimes the devotees who cannot follow this principle, they say that, you know, because I don't have the higher taste, even though I know that I should follow, but still I fall to lower taste. So where does he get the strength to practice this?
Then first thing is, it's those who've taken the vows, of course, they must follow. There's no question, I can't follow, I must follow. Otherwise, even I know I should follow, but somehow I'm not following, you try to follow. Make the attempt. And gradually, because you're in the beginning, I may not be able to follow all of these principles. I may not be able to follow the rules and regulations. I may not be able to get up early. I may not be able to chant so many rounds. I may not be able to do this. I may not be able to do that. Huh? Not that it's so hard. Huh? You know, we're able to answer the phone so many times a day. Hello, IBM. Hello, IBM. Hello, IBM. But we can't chant 16 rounds a day. So we have tongues, we have ears, we can do it, but somehow we don't have the taste. Durdaiva midrashim ihajani nanuraga. So somehow, if we're not to the point of following the regulative principles, at least we should have faith in the process. And we should associate with those who are following. This is the little advanced stage. Bhajana Kriya means following these rules and regulations. Otherwise, the beginning stage is, at least let me appreciate that this is good. I may follow or not follow, but let me appreciate that those who are following, they're doing something nice. I wish I could also do that. That will help him. Now he's thinking, I'm doing all these things, it's really good. I'm gratifying my senses, I'm having a great time, I'm breaking all the rules. So that when it comes to the understanding that actually I'm a fool, I'm hurting myself doing all these things, I'm causing my own distress, I wish I could be like these people. Now he's becoming advanced. That this path of devotional service is the right path. I may not be able to do it, but it's the right thing. Now that's called Shraddha. Then the next thing is, because I have faith in this process, let me associate with those who are following the process. Otherwise, if I associate with the other kind of people, I'll be dragged down to their level of consciousness and their level of engagement. I'm not going to improve myself by their association. We typically, the things that we shouldn't do, we do in the association of others who are addicted to doing these things. Even a person, he's decided to give up alcohol, but then he meets his old drinking buddy, and one thing leads to another. So giving up bad association will help me. And taking up good association. In good association, one improves. One improves. Simply by, one time Srila Prabhupada said, 90% of the advancement you've made simply is by association. Lava matra sadhu sanghe sarva siddhi. I may not be able to do it, but let me serve those who are doing it. Let me respect those who are doing it. Let me associate with those who are doing it. Let me render service to those who are doing it. Let me hear from those who are doing it. And by that sadhu sangha, satam prasanga mama virya samvido bhavanti hrid karna rasayana katha shraddha ratir bhaktir anukramishati. It will come by association. Then he comes to the next stage, bhajana kriya. Now let me do these things also. Now let me follow these principles. Now let me come under the guidance of the spiritual master. Now let me take these vows. Let me dedicate myself to the practice. And then anartha nivritti, these unwanted things are washed away. Then he gets tastes. So, in that way. Anything else? Okay. Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.